Good morning. I'm Bill Hubaugh, Chief Economist at Trade.com. Welcome to our weekly market analysis of the financial markets and compliments of Tip TV. Now, I'm joined this morning by Jeremy Stretch, FX strategist at CIBC.
Good morning, Bill.
Thank you for joining
us. Pleasure to be here.
And now, have you had a change of opinion in the last 72 hours in reference to interest rates, in reference to the Donald?
Well, in reference to the U.S. and the reference to the Fed, I have to say I have not. We've been running with the opinion that we anticipated that March was a live meeting and there was a realistic prospect of a monetary tightening coming at that meeting. And indeed, I recommended internally at the beginning of the week that markets were too complacent.
But it sounds like you and I may be the only two people in the world who have felt for a while that March 15th. When did you get the feeling that March could be, would be, should be alive?
Well, I think when we go back to December, and of course we had the Fed at that stage saying that there were going to be potentially three hikes coming through in 2017. Now, of course, we've seen previously where the Fed have been pretty ambitious in terms of their dot plots, and those dot plots have proved to be incorrect. But I think as far as the Fed is concerned, I think there is an opportunity here that actually they need to get ahead of the curve, or at least be moving further away from being behind the curve by utilizing the opportunity of seeing the tightness of the labor market, the fact that inflationary pressures are moving back higher, and also the period between now and the summer when perhaps we will see more flesh on the bones of the fiscal expansionary plans from the Trump administration. The Fed has an opportunity to utilize that window to actually say, well, let's start a degree of monetary tightening, which after all is comparatively modest, because of course where are we, where is the ultimate destination? Is it real rates or nominal rates of 2% or real rates of zero? Well, possibly yes, but we're still only progressively getting there.
Look at the first chart, because one of the things I want to see is that, I guess not the doom and gloomers, but everybody was saying, well, we had somewhat of a surprise on the 23rd of June here in the UK and on the 8th of November. Now, one of the people was saying, as you can see right now, okay, on the 15th of March, we have the FOMC meeting. But before that, okay, we've got the UK budget, the ECB policy meeting. And on the 15th, we also have, is it going to be Nexit from the Netherlands, okay? On the 16th, we have the Bank of England, Bank of Japan. And also, everybody was saying maybe the one and done for this year was, we also have the expiry of the federal deficit. So you feel that, and could we get this, quote, justification from Janet Yellen and Vice Chairman Stanley Fisher tomorrow that the 15th of March is truly a done deal?
I think we could well get that. And I think it's interesting if we look at what's happened in the last 24, 48 hours. We've seen two avowed doves from the Federal Reserve Board suggesting that the rate process is, or the rate decision is increasingly compelling towards a monetary tightening in terms of Dudley. So I think that's interesting, because of course you always expect the hawks to be maintaining the mantra of monetary tightening. But when you get the doves starting to cry and say, well, actually it's an opportunity to now move towards a degree of monetary tightening, I think that does vindicate the strategy of saying, well, the Fed are sufficiently close to their twin mandates to allow them to look to tighten.
Okay. So, I mean, as we start, we basically started the week. Again, I thought it was always too dovish, 38. But we saw, as you say, right, after three Federal Reserve governors, two of which were, quote, govs, and one of which is a non-voter, basically saying three hikes. And as you can see right now, we went from like 38-40% to almost 80%.
Indeed. And so, we're getting close to, if not a certainty, but a high probability. But of course, even should Yellen and Fisher back up that assumption of monetary tightening, of course, we still have one enormous data event between now and that FOMC decision. And of course, we get another non-farms reading. Yes. And that could be a real wild card, potentially. And of course, one of the caveats to the tightness of the labor market in terms of the employment rate has been the relative dearth of wage growth. So in a sense, there is still another sort of macroeconomic elephant in the room. But ultimately, we've seen the market moving very aggressively, flipping around from being too complacent to now getting towards potentially almost overconfident.
Well, yesterday, as we saw with the PCE deflator on a yearly basis, I felt we could probably get 2%, which would be the first time in 5 years. We only got 1.9%. But as we saw last night with the Beige Book, okay, all Federal Reserve districts said growth is moderate to modest. But the thing that I looked at was three of the districts said labor market was getting very tight.
Indeed, and I think that's you know, that's an interesting dynamic, because of course labour markets are invariably lagging indicators. So in a sense, if you're starting to see that inherent tightness being reflected in three of those Federal Reserve districts, then it would seem most likely that unless there were to be a little bit of a dab on the brakes, then that tightness is going to be reflected in terms of some degree of wage pressure. And of course, that's even before we consider the dynamics of changing migration flows, which could well be an upshot of the change in the administration.
As you mentioned, next Friday, March the 10th, what is your early indication, first on the employment numbers and the average earnings?
Well, I think in a sense, you know, we should look through the actual non-farms number itself, because I think that's probably not going to be the primary arbiter. So I suspect that we're not going to see something which is wildly dissimilar to the most recent performance. So I think the market should be looking more at those average earnings numbers. If there is going to be a sign that average earnings are continuing to firm, or there are some signs that there is a firming in that sector, then I think that will help to vindicate whatever the Federal Reserve governors have been saying over the course of the last few sessions. And I think that will help to vindicate continued dollar gains through the course of the next couple of months.
As we were talking about before we came on air, as I mentioned to you, it seems like after January, the greenback sort of took a siesta for the month of February. And if we can look at the charts here, all of a sudden it seems to have woken up dramatically. Okay, now, as you can see right now, euro dollar now, again, we're not anywhere close to the parity party yet. Okay, we're still trading, you know, the 105 and a half level. Okay, let's look now at cable. Cable's had a fairly bad hair day. I think the last I looked this morning was 122.60. So we're well down from this, you know, level here. Now, again, going down, and now the next one, of course, is dollar yen. Okay, I mean, 2 or 3 weeks ago, the question was dollar yen, 110, 109, 88 parity. You know, were people getting confused, euro at parity or dollar yen at parity? And so we can see right now, again, this morning, 114. So my next question is, I know you're not, you know, as bearish on cable at 110 as maybe HSBC is. So now we know, basically feeling that we will get the rate hike in March, okay? Again, for our viewers, March is one of the four meetings of the year where there's a press conference, okay? If they go in March, then does that give them all the flexibility to pass in May and then point towards the 14th of June meeting?
Well, I think not only were markets too complacent about the prospects of March at the beginning of this week, I think the prospects of two tightenings before the middle of the year were certainly sufficiently lowly priced to also suggest there was a mispricing, because I think there is a scope to say that the Fed can utilise this window between now and the summer to push forward with some modest monetary tightening. Now, of course, in percentage terms, 225 basis point moves are disproportionately large. But of course, you know, in a sense, what all we're doing is reversing away from unnaturally extremely easy monetary policy, which has really characterized not just the Fed, but global monetary policy in the post-crisis world. And we're just seeing a gradual normalization. So I think we still have the risk of two hikes before the summer. And I think that's going to be the case that will sustain the dollar's rally into that early summer period. But I think that's going to be the catalyst which would then suggest that the dollar's gains will start to run out of momentum.
I won't mention any names, but I mean, there was one person out there basically feeling that, again, for the third year in a row, we'd have only one rate hike in December of 2017. Now, I've tried to call them all this week, and I haven't gotten a return back. So now, if we see this, okay, if the market then, we do March, it gives the Fed the ability to pass in June, where would you see the 30th of June, the 31st of December on euro, cable, and dollar yen, feeling that we get one in March and possibly a 50 to 75% probability in June?
Well, I think from a euro perspective, I think it's interesting because, of course, you can't discount the political elements, because, of course, whilst we fixate on interest rate differentials and how that's, you know, the primary arbiter of currency performance, as far as the euro-dollar pair is, of course, you cannot discount those political elements. So I think we will see euro-dollar testing those early 17 lows in the course of the next 2 or 3 months. But having said that, if we don't see Marine Le Pen in the Elysee Palace come May, then I think if we get to June, we're then looking at a euro which is trading at maybe 106. And I think as we go towards the end of the year, we're trading back towards 112. So I think it's a case of the euro moving away from this ultra-low level. I don't see the parity party being triggered anytime soon.
So you don't have your party hat yet?
No, indeed. I'm afraid I'm a party pooper on the euro story. I think if you discount the political risk in Europe, the euro should be substantially stronger. I think in dollar yen, I think we may well find that we get back to that sort of 115, 116 threshold. But I think that's going to be the sort of headline. I don't see the sort of return to the sort of the 118.60 double top. I think that would be a very dangerous scenario because, of course, that would label or risk Japan being labeled as a currency manipulated by the U.S. administration. Heaven forbid.
Who would have ever said so? Who makes comments like that?
Exactly. No, nobody does. So I think we will actually see dollar yen ending the year somewhat lower as well, back into the low teens. And I think from a cable perspective, I think what I would say is that we've both been around long enough to understand how wide the cable trading range has been over the last 15 to 20 years. But I think in the last 5 to 10 years, if you're in a 140, 160 range in cable, you're not materially mispriced. And then you look at the cyclical variables and trade within that band. I think now, post June 23rd, from 140, 160, we're now at 120, 140, with the potential to have those occasional spikes or moves outside of that range. And I think that's roughly where we are now. I wouldn't rule out 121 in the nearer term, maybe even as extreme as 118. I don't see 110 unless the initial stages of the divorce negotiations between the UK and Europe are hugely acrimonious, even more than we're already assuming. And I think the other scenario that would need to play out if we're going to get a 110 threshold or a 110 handle on cable is you would need to see the UK consumer capitulating. Now, I think the UK consumer maintained momentum in the latter stage of last year by remarkable degrees of spending patterns. I think those spending patterns will not be maintained in 2017, but not to the extent that we will see consumer spending ultimately hitting the buffers and in a very extreme way.
Well, Jeremy, all I can say is I've written this down. I hope you will join us again probably in 4 weeks.
So you'll write it down and use it in evidence against me. That's...
Of course not. But all I want to say is I'd like to thank Jeremy Stretch for joining us today. And as I say, have a lovely week, and we will see you next week. Thank you very much.